I'm not sure that we all know one another, so why don't we start with introductions. Melissa Maker, Chair.
Howie Edwards, Harbor Commission.
Regina Leonard, landscape architect for Mona McBroom.
Matt Ripley, Harbor Master.
Ron, you were friends of Penobscot Bay.
John Rodden, Parks Commission.
Steve Fett, Bangor Daily.
Sandy Billington, Secretary to the Commission.
Michael Sabatini, I'm with Landmark, Surveyors and Engineers.
Richard Whitman on the Harbor Commission.
Brian Ford, Lobster.
Okay. We had some public comment. Mr. Rodden had called earlier yesterday, and so we would like to.
Just so you know, I am tape recorder, so you know that. Whereas under my disability, I do have a right to tape record. So, the Parks Commission wanted me to bring a question up to you, Melissa, and I would much feel more comfortable if you came to Parks Commission and answered the question. But if I have to go back and tell them, I can do that too. They want to know, when a wheelchair comes in off these cruise ships, how do they get up over that ramp at the pier, and how do they get up over to whether like the timeout pub is, or up the hill there? I'm presuming they mean a wheelchair you have to push, not an electric one. Do you people make arrangements for them to get up over, or is it cruise ship's responsibility, the city's responsibility, or whose responsibility is that?
That isn't the new ramp. Accessible.
Yeah, the new ramp that they just installed right. Last year is ADA compliant.
Yeah, I understand that. But I'm trying to say, but who helps them get up over that new ramp? Because a person with, say, like a quadriplegic, don't have strength enough to. That's a cruise ship that does that. So how do they, like, when they get up over the ramp, how do they get up over the Lobster Festival Hills? Is that something that the cruise ship? I mean, I know it's handicapped. I mean, tax cabs have a wheelchair, and that's why I don't know, you know, why she wanted me to come up here and bring this question up. But is it the passenger's responsibility, or cruise ships, or city's responsibility to make sure that some people, like, just wheel and wheel downtown without, you know, going on a tour or anything? And that's what a member of the Parks Commission wanted me to bring up here.
I think what I would say is that it's never been brought to our attention, but it's our understanding it's the responsibility of the cruise ship industry to make accommodations for their passengers.
That's fine with me. That's what I'll take back and tell them. Okay. All right. That's number one. Mm-hmm. Number two, I'd like to ask you again about the lighthouse. If you could do a letter to the Army Corps of Engineers of how bad shape that is. I understand somebody had fallen out there about 2 weeks ago and got hurt, and it's my understanding that if you're giving people a right, a reason to go out to the breakwater, it has to be ADA accessible. So, you people, you know, the harbor management should be able to write a letter to the Army Corps of Engineers just saying, look, you know, this is not safe for people. I have a disability. I wouldn't feel safe walking out to the breakwater with some of them rocks, them granite blocks, 4 or 5 feet apart. Not that I'm gonna, you know, but the idea is if people are getting hurt out there, then you people have to take responsibility and do something about that. Mm. Otherwise, the people from Augusta, the ADA, could be brought in on this. And that wouldn't take a whole lot to do either. So I'd like to know.
We discussed this, didn't we, about 2 or 3 months ago here?
We did, and we didn't resolve it then, so.
And I don't think we can resolve that. What's going to happen? They're going to end up shutting the breakwater down.
Well,
that was what when I asked the Corps of Engineers, Jay Clements, about it. He said, well, do you want us to close it down, or?
I mean, that's what's going to happen until it gets really, you know.
The thing is that I sent him enough photos to see it's only a, like, 10% or less, far less than that, actually is a problem. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. I was Penn Bay Hospital's first accident there this year. But I did succeed in mapping that. Mostly,
there's no way to restructure those potholes and granite block without putting rock up there with a badge.
Right. More like heavy cobble. You don't need to move any big blocks. Just need to use some cobble to fill in.
Cobble won't stay there. You get first two high tides.
I'll bet you're right. Yeah, well, that's why I'm not a
So what you're telling me is you don't feel comfortable writing a letter to the Army Corps? Because no. Then what I would do is get a hold of the Disability Center and have them come down and take a walk of it. If they close it down, they close it down. But I'd rather see it closed down than somebody get seriously hurt out there. So, until they fix it.
I'm not sure that it's our jurisdiction. Do we have any authority to send a letter? We don't own the lighthouse. Lighthouse Museum? I don't know.
Put up a sign, pass it to your own risk.
Yeah, I'm surprised there isn't a yet own risk sign there.
That would be the next step.
But of course, that's not going to help.
It's not going to answer his question. Right. Ask him.
No. I mean, I just don't want to see people get hurt out there. That's my whole thing, you know.
Especially more people texting and all that. That's blam. I mean,
yeah.
It's lazy there. But
you're going to get a lot more mileage if you present that before the city council. You would with us, I'm afraid.
Yeah, well, you can and just say
very slowly. Yeah. After the Patriots Day storm, the Harbor Master sent the Army Corps a letter about the damage that was caused by the Patriots Day storm up there. And, I mean, that may be 50 years before they get to it. It took 50 years to build it. So. Mm-hmm.
Well, we have a Harbor Master right here. What's his opinion of it?
Of the breakwater?
The breakwater.
I'd have to say I'm pretty ill-equipped to answer that question right now.
You haven't walked it, or?
Have I walked it? Yeah, when I was a kid, I walked it hundreds of times.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Well, but
jurisdiction?
It'd be good, because it's kind of squishy there. The Corps' jurisdiction, but it's also by custom. It's so heavily used by the public that there's practically a public right to the thing. But I remember when the Samoset, their first effort to build a marina there, there was a threat where we might just cut off access to that. And then I think Joe Steinberger was on the council then. He said, no, well, then we just take it by public, whatchamacallit. So it was a little battle back and forth. So, of course, they withdrew the plan, so nothing happened. But but the thing is, the city will react, or has reacted in the past, to this sort of thing.
If I can, there may be state statute that says as long as it is unsupervised and clearly posted that you operate or use at your own risk, that takes all responsibility off the city. When I was the athletic director at the high school, we worked with the city in putting the skate park up on school property. And one of those components was that we had to have it unsupervised. Unlike the MBNA skate park in Camden at the time, which was supervised, an MBNA inherited liability. For the city to put it up on school property, it had to be unsupervised, ungated, clearly posted that you operated to real risk, which took all liability off all owners. That might be something that the city attorney can verify in saying that as long as it's clearly posted, you use this at your own risk, it takes all liability off. It might be something to explore.
You know, I wonder, has the city ever been brought to, had a complaint filed against it for things there? Because Jay over there at Corps of Engineers seems to think, says, well, are you going to sue us? Get in line. And he doesn't seem very, very perturbed about lawsuits of people hurting themselves there. Even without that, I think that sign would have made a big difference, but without it, it's still.
I mean, if it's clearly posted, you operate at your own risk, that may. Under state statute, take that liability away from the city.
Well, we could suggest that to the Corps.
It's probably similar to going down the old county road before they buried it.
Matt, could you ask Kevin about that? I don't know if
we
really have any jurisdiction, really.
Want me to talk to Mr.
Beale
about it? Or?
Let's say, do that and talk to Mr. Clements, you know. Jay, he's got the whole history of the breakwater. Jay Clements, he's with the Army Corps of Engineers. He's for this bay, he does most of the.
Do you have his contact info?
Not on me right now, but I can get it to you.
Get it So ask Mr. Beal about our liability.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And putting proper signage up there.
course, this doesn't answer your...
Well, at least we're getting somewhere this time. Anyway.
Yeah, it's getting somewhere.
We're getting closer. So that's good. We're making progress here.
And who do I get back to about this?
You can get the Parks Commission.
Who's on the Parks Commission?
He is.
I am.
I'm new to this.
Well, Sandy can give the information. She has a...
I'm sure that Kevin can send a letter.
Yeah, Kevin knows my address, too.
He could if he... Okay.
Or if you have any pertinent information, that you can bring it back to the next harbor management meeting, and you can discuss it at that time.
Okay.
Anything else, Mr. Rodden?
No, thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comments this evening? Great. Approval of the minutes, but that's what's missing.
Minutes.
Do we have just one?
A couple.
My chance to find a tablet.
It was a Samsung phone.
Oh,
a tablet.
That was mine.
Oh, that was
yours. Thank you.
No, I didn't see the tablet.
Okay.
Sorry. I thought he was looking for a tablet, like a piece of paper, right?
Come on. You're just not 21st century now.
Make a motion to approve the minutes of the last meeting.
All in favor? Approved. Richard.
Oh, let's see. Al's going to be getting down in a couple of weeks, and we've got a new this Peter guy coming on.
Who is it?
Mark Tibbetts.
Mark Tibbetts, yeah.
Mark?
Correct, yeah.
So, just in the past, do you want Mark to attend these meetings as well, or do you want to...
Well, I think we're going to set up some kind of meet and greet. Okay.
We're going to give him a little bit of time to settle in, about a month or so, and then we'll start getting into some of these meetings.
Okay.
It's a lot to chew on at first.
So. Mm-hmm. So, what's his history in a nutshell? Is he from the area? Has he done other fish piers?
They're going to publish a bio on him here shortly. Did you get it?
It's already online.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah? Where, at the city? In the city?
I just don't want to misspeak.
It's on the Bangor Daily website.
Oh, okay. Okay.
That was quick. You just got it today.
Oh, he is quick.
Are you still, is this you, Richard, waiting for the ACOE?
Yeah, they're still waiting for that, and all the tests come back, and just waiting to get the permit now. And so, I know he said $30,000, and I need them the permit yet.
So nothing special about the sediments that they tested?
No, everything was fine.
Oh, good.
How many, Melissa, can I ask a question? How many people use the fish pier now? Like, fishing boats from the islands, bringing lobsters and urchins or something?
I'm not sure that we have an exact count right now. We just, do you know how many renewed their permit?
I'd have to talk to Al. Yeah.
We have how many? We have one buyer, two buyers down there this year.
Three
buyers on the fish pier.
Three herring boats.
Yeah.
Double Eagle and the two.
I think a lot of fishermen keep a permit there. I'm not sure that they necessarily...
Well, I was thinking more like Marty Malloy's from Matanikas Island and stuff like that, that buy lobsters on the islands and stuff.
Marty comes into the fish pier.
Right, and I know he ships a little bit to Linda and a little bit down to New York or whatever, and...
Interesting to see the economics of the different fish piers that are here. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think in the near future, we're hoping that our sphere will be a little more appealing. In the process of going through some makeover, so.
What are they going to do? Re-hot top the parking lot?
He's going to get a complete resurfacing.
All right, yeah. Have they still got, because I can't see where, have they still got the big diesel fuel tank at the end?
No, just 2,000 gallon tanks down there.
Yeah.
Anything else, Richard?
No, that's it for now.
Okay.
All right, Harbor Master's report. Public landing floats are in. The water's on, and we're just waiting on the electric. The new assistant harbor master will start on Monday, 23rd of May. It's Mark Tibbetts. His bio is in the newspaper. Three of the four dock stewards start this week. We're completing maintenance, painting, cleaning, etc. And just kind of going over what we're going to do this summer, goals, and commence painting on the building.
You've been busy.
Yeah, there. Starting.
Good. Have we had any calls from folks coming in or wanting more?
Yeah, we've had quite a few actually for the blues festival. So, like we talked about before, we decided to go ahead and reserve half and half.
Mm-hmm.
So half is first come first served, half is for reservations, so we can cater to both parties.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd say we're pretty close to full-on reservations for dock space for the Blues Festival. Now it's going to be first time virtually.
So Mr. Tibbetts is both the assistant harbor master, or what do you call it, and the fish pier?
He's a manager.
Manager. Assistant manager.
Yeah, repainting the harbor master's house. What color is that?
White.
Do you have any idea what color the gazebo is up on top of the hill over there at Bowie Park?
Gazebo at Bowie Park.
Is it just natural color?
Mm-hmm. No, I think it's painted, isn't it?
I don't
know. Can't even visualize that right now.
All right.
It was a butterfly garden.
You think they keep the buoy painted?
We paint the buoys every summer.
Was that right? Oh, yeah. Good. They're going to paint the... a big wire lobster.
We probably couldn't afford it.
How did your went to New York yet?
The what?
What you?
No, I believe that's nice. Second week in June. Maybe. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Old business. Have we done anything about the Monhegan? Have we heard any more?
I called today.
Ah.
Actually.
You called today or they called today?
No, I called today.
Mm-hmm.
And she has a plan.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see how it goes.
What's her plan now?
Well, she's trying to sell it. Mm-hmm. And if that doesn't work, plan B is to take it down to Rhode Island and overhaul it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I explained to her the fees. I explained to her Chapter 9 of the ordinance.
Mm-hmm.
Also about documented vessels having to have excise tax paid prior to having a mooring. So she's well aware of...
And she is ready to hire?
I believe so. I don't know if it was willed to her. I have no idea that... Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know how that works.
Mm-hmm. So. He's executive.
Could be. All I know is the person who takes care of the mooring for her got me the contact information. I just called her today. So.
Dusty's having somebody check on it.
Yeah. So, anyway, make contact.
The time frame, though.
Well... I guess apparently last year should be the time frame, and that didn't come to fruition. So,
zinc
contact. So we'll start from there.
The zinc time frames will be wearing off.
Yeah,
that will be a couple of bad days.
Yeah.
How are you the realist? He knows what's going to happen.
Okay. Yeah, kind of a given.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Matt, you need clarification on a couple of the fees?
Yeah, I've had a lot of pushback on that electrical one, $5 an hour. They're like, yeah, no. I was like, no, okay. So I just asked the question, well, what are some of the normal fees up and down the coast, you know, and they're like, well, you know, most I've seen is maybe $15 a day, you know. Yeah. I know we talked about different levels.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, you know, 30 amp, 50 amp, charging different prices and such. How do you regulate that, you know? I don't know. It's something to think about, but right now I just ignore them and charge people in the summer. You know, $5 an hour seems to be kind of high.
Is that what's in the fee schedule?
25. Yeah, but originally we thought it was a typo, remember?
Right, yeah.
But then we sat down and said, eh, it might not be a typo because it was an issue last year. I guess with quite high electrical bills.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I just don't know where we're at. I just need to know how I'm going to charge.
I thought it was on a daily basis, wasn't it, before?
Mm-hmm. I think it's $5 a day for just an extension cord.
You
have to fit for you.
I don't think there's any difference.
It's more, you know, if you've got a 30-amp plug or a 50-amp plug, it is more. Everything's metered on the pier now.
Yeah, so it's not metered. Yeah. You know, each boat's not metered on the public landing, so. Need to come up with something, I would assume, in the next month.
Mm-hmm.
Before everybody shows up and
I start charging
erroneous charges for, you know, I need to have something written that I can show them and say, this is the policy.
And it still has to go to the council as
yep.
well. Once mm-hmm.
This is what I need to charge.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Otherwise, right now, I have to go $5 a day. Or, no, I'm sorry, $5 an hour.
That's what it says. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's what it says in there. So that's policy. You know.
Might be a typo too.
That's what we thought earlier, and that's fine. I just need to know, being the one that has to enforce it, what is it?
How high were the electricity bills?
I'd have to go and talk to. I could talk to Lori Smith, maybe, about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would say like $5 a day for a regular extension cord, and then. Like $10 for a 30-amp plug and $15 for a 50 or something.
Yeah.
Per day.
Per day.
Yeah.
$5 per day.
So five.
Extension cord.
What was the other one?
And then $10 for a 30-amp plug. And then whatever's coming off the boat, boats have 30-amp plugs
sense.
And boats have 50-amp plugs.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah.
The unfortunate thing, we can't vote on this evening, but that sounds very realistic.
Yeah.
I'm not sure when the next...
A 50-amp plug can run the whole boat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you have like three
air conditioners and everything.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anything else for new business?
So you'll have to get that changed in the fee order, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And there's a couple other things that have been, you know, I've gotten quite a few phone calls. I'd have to say 10 or so in the last couple of weeks about people wanting more up because they see the piers in, which is great. And then they ask what the fees are, and I tell them, oh, well, what about the shoulder months? You know, I said, well, that's what the fee schedule says. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't know if you want to go down that road. Between now and, you know, say...
We never had first, or we've always set the one fee and it stayed, you know...
Stayed there.
Pretty much, well, not never.
Yeah.
We never shoulder like into a rental or a house.
Well, I talked to some of the rentals and they don't shoulder anything.
No, mm-hmm. no.
It's the fee and that's the fee. Yeah. So yeah. I just want to pass that by you to tell you...
Well, that's what everybody else is doing.
So keep it.
Yes.
We don't want to start. We couldn't make that
one.
So we would really be in the pickle with the rest of them.
Yeah.
We've been through that before. You've got to keep it.
Yeah.
No. Or even
keep it across the board.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't.
That's all I have for that.
Okay. I think you're up.
Oh, great. Well, I see that we're not, you know, hopefully you were still anticipating us coming, so I guess hopefully we're not going to take too much of your time. I know a lot of you were at the public meeting that we had. We just wanted to touch base with you because we've continued meeting with some of the marine stakeholders. We've met recently with the yacht club reps, and we're looking to kind of really get into preliminary design in the next few weeks, and we'd like to come back to you on June 7th with an update.
Who have you met with other than the yacht club?
We've met with...
It was on
the last update. I didn't itemize it for this meeting, but since the last time we met, we've met additionally with the Rockland Yacht Club, but we've also met with all the festival people. We met with Frank.
Eskenitis.
We've met with, met with a code enforcement officer. We met with Matt, three or four times now.
Yep. And then we circled back with both Matt and Ed Glazer.
That's right, we met with Ed.
Once we had kind of a layout of gear and some ideas just to bounce them off. Mm-hmm.
So we've continued to do that. The public meeting went really well tonight. Got some nice, good comments. I think overall...
what were the comments?
Yeah, go ahead.
I wrote something down. Showers and baths and laundry for boaters. Definitely a use that needs to be maintained. Mm-hmm. There's already that use, but the need for push carts and places for them and the ability to use them. When we talk about some of our options here, we contemplate the idea of having more than one cruise ship at a time, and which would require dredging. And when that subject came up, someone commented, we don't want more than one cruise ship at a time. So, point well taken. Coordination with the Park Commission or the Harbor Park Committee. Mm-hmm. Since the pier definitely touches the boardwalk and the park. Comment about the people in cars wanting to park and see the water and elevation of any boardwalk that may or might not be placed. Recreational fishing, I thought this was a good one, and have a sink or something available, an outdoor sink for cleaning up or cleaning fish, I guess. That's all I had written down anyway.
Okay, great. Yeah, there was some discussion about the Harbor Master Building, and there were some comments about
knocking it down and rebuilding it.
Other comments about keeping it. Mm-hmm. So we just kind of left that up for discussion. Mm-hmm. But, you know, all in all, I think the feedback was pretty good. We just wanted a chance to sort of walk you through what we're currently thinking. And we started the conversation last time. I think we showed you some examples of some public piers. So why don't we just dive into that, and then I'll finish up just talking about kind of some next steps. Essentially, we went over tonight the design considerations and, really the idea that, this could be a community destination, an attraction with amenities, lighting, seating, covered spaces, that it's really a gateway that should have a sense of arrival to it. Mm-hmm. And there should be information right in that arrival zone. There should be easy public access for all users. That would be improving the gangways and ramps for ADA. Creating alternate paths of access during events and during the times when there's the need for security on one of the floats. providing access to the other floats and to the public is important. And then looking at kind of the park public land relationship, we were asked specifically to look at sort of how the boardwalks and the paths meet. But I think because we're sort of looking at the Harding Master Building and thinking about potentially raising it up and shifting it back to get it out of that VE 15 zone and also to give more space to the arrival zone, that starts to get into more of the need to look at the park and also the implementation of the public landing project and how that works with what's been proposed for the park. So that's something that we're hoping to do. We're talking to Audra now about potentially getting some assistance from the city so that we can look at that and wrap some funding into it. Character and keeping with Rockland, both the scale and the materials and the marine-related considerations, services and utilities, truck access and deliveries, things like access to electric, water, and sewer. That's something that, you know, we may be seeking more specific guidance on as we kind of develop the recommendations. A pump-out station and a dock shack, that's something that we've heard is important. Public Wi-Fi, and then potentially, this kind of goes maybe a little bit beyond, but a computerized management system to kind of manage slippage, slips and things. And then the coastal and regulatory considerations. The homeland security, when boats come in over 150 passengers, sort of how is access secured and where that happens, we're looking at. The floodplain I mentioned, federal channel setbacks, riparian rights, addressing potential encroachments with the pier improvements before they become issues. And then, you know, that goes with sort of adjacent marina activities, both now, present, and potential future activities. So those were the design considerations. And then last time we were here, we kind of talked about a concept for sort of creating a widened pier that serves really as a visitor attraction. So it has a functional use, but it also kind of has that sense of place and, you know, lots of amenities and seating and opportunities for people to come and take in the views, but also the ability to be very functional for the marine uses. So have the ability to separate the uses for public access and security. We're thinking, and I think we talked about this, as the dock locations really being kind of very flexible. The pier is what really the focus is on, but the docks and floats are more flexible over time, that you can respond to your needs as those needs change over time. So the intent really is to keep that flexible. Create an arrival and gathering space. So we're really thinking about the Harbor Master Building as being this important focal point between the pier and the land, and that the idea is that you raise that up so that you start to mitigate some of those accessibility issues, and you have a better relationship not only with the pier and the Harbor Master Building, but also across the way, so that the existing boardwalk is connected at the same level. We talked, I think, last time about moving the proposed boardwalk on the land side and treating that in a similar fashion, so that that has a boardwalk feeling to it. But it takes the pressure off, because we're putting more energy into the pier development, takes some pressure off that boardwalk and what it has to do. And I think, let's see, so this is a very rough sketch, but you can see that essentially what we're showing is two main gangways that are ADA compliant. So you have a gangway that comes on, and these are also, if you look at the following configurations, it's probably better to look at those. So as you come on, Concept A has two 80-foot gangways, and then the ability to kind of separate that traffic. So if you have a cruise ship come in, you can push all of that traffic and secure it on the south side, and then on the north side, that's where your dinghy docks are, and that's where your slips are, and you can maintain that and keep it open. So the idea is that you have a wide enough pier that you can start to separate those uses. And then the second, and this is Mike referenced this, the second configuration looks at if you're going to accommodate more larger ship traffic or, you know, cruise ships or schooners, that this type of configuration would work well for that. It would require dredging, and so it shows the interior line. So it's dredging inward or toward the land. And we ran some very preliminary costs for that, and that was around $350,000 for just the dredge. It seemed like, from what we heard with the public, that this wasn't something that, you know, we heard was desirable in terms of accommodating additional cruise ships. So it may be a moot point, but was still probably included in our report. Mike, did I miss anything? Or?
No, I would just add, just so you, for a sense of scale, you know, the pier we're proposing starts off as 40 feet wide, and then there's a jog to it, and that's, you know, roughly 30 feet. And, you know, the thing that I like about this is that outer end is all public zone, that you've gotten rid of all your traffic. It's down the ramps coming and going, mm-hmm. so this becomes a very public space, yeah. which mm-hmm. hopefully opens the use of the pier up to more than just the marine stakeholders. It's more of a gathering spot. So, mm-hmm.
so where would the the dinghy dock be moved to, and proposal B there?
Proposal B might not detail that out. You know, you could have dinghies all along this area. And you could have an arrangement of dinghies anywhere in here.
Oh, okay. Yeah, is there any lee problem? That is, the other side's pretty sheltered against storms. Would that side make any significant difference being on the other side there?
No, clearly. I mean, the nature of the granite pier, it has that L shape that protects the other dinghy location.
Should, yeah.
But the problem over there is there's riparian rights issues. I mean, it's already encroaching on riparian rights that the city does not own, you know.
You mean for the business right next to the...
Yeah, the landowner, I mean, the property line is right there, you know. And so, say we go forward with a proposed pier at some point, you're going to have to get Army Corps approval, and they're going to look at that, and the way this idea now is that, well, we're going to be less non-conforming in regard to riparian rights. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're still, I think the Army Corps likes to have even like a 25-foot setback from your actual riparian line.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't meet that because the infrastructure of the granite is such that the pier has to be in this location. And so we're trying to hug tight to that south side, and mm-hmm. you get some of the uses over the north side where you have loads of riparian rights, you know, and it's congested, and you can't go any further out that way. You know, I kind of thought that maybe that would be a good spot because it is a little bit protected, that the harbor master's boat maybe stays over that side. Just a thought.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it was expansion area and trying to get away from riparian problems.
Oh, I like that division of cruising area and the small boat fleet.
Yeah, I mean, especially if when the bigger cruise ships are out moored, and then you have their launch coming in, the launch can, you know, come here and they can have a direct shot out, and it really is separation. When you have the smaller cruise ships, which are still rather large, but
I guess it's called the Independence, you know, they're going to be on that longer pier, you know, right here. Yeah. And you'll still have mingling, but, it's not as they can still go this way or up that one, but.
Yeah. Right. Reposition that one you just talked about.
You could.
Offshore quite well, but we've got a channel up there to deal with.
You do.
And I think that last way it's set up now, when those American Line boats there, where would, I think it's a 75-foot setback you're supposed to be from, and I think we've encroached on that. Am I right?
From the channel?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're definitely.
Yeah, if you don't know, we're going to be in the channel, what I'm saying. If you.
Yeah. Yeah. You're in the channel now, actually.
Right.
Yeah. So.
And I mean, you can get them deauthorized. I'm sure you people have done it before.
Well, so I think the line of reasoning now is like these are temporary. So the reason now you have setbacks from a channel is for when they dredge it.
Right.
And so the floats can come out, and there's piles there, but those can come out too if they had to. And they could dredge, and you could reset piles, you know, worst-case scenario. So that's the reason why I think they would let us occupy closer than that, because it's a temporary nature. But yeah, if they enforced, I think it has to be it's three times the depth. So whatever the dredge depth is, they want to be able to come up at a 3-to-1.
They always, I think we used to in the city figure like on a 75-foot setback, and that kind of got everything.
Yeah, so it's 15 feet at this channel, so 15 times 3 is 45 feet.
Yeah, would be 60. So.
Yeah.
I think the Independence is like 42 feet or something.
That float.
No,
oh well, I mean, that floats back probably not even that much, and I'd say when the Independence is docked, it's in the channel.
It's there.
It's in the channel.
But what you're saying is the Army Corps only asks for the setback just for dredging purposes.
For dredging purposes. Yeah. So you can, if you can, say we'll remove the floats when you're dredging, and remove the piles, and
that's not an issue.
I think that's the line of reasoning.
We had the same thing. I'm on the port district also when we're off, and we had to deauthorize the channel in the Limits Cove to dredge it, but we built the maritime conditions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like 8 years getting through Washington, they piggyback it on,
something
out in Oregon, something in Florida, but to get it done, that's how long it took. Eight, if not longer.
Is that near O'Hara?
No, right in Limits Cove, the treatment plant.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, talking about these slips going north and south, on the north side, which would be on the Pearl side, how long do slips go over towards the Pearl? How far over?
I'm better to look at this. You know, we didn't go out any further than too much than what is already here.
So it doesn't interfere with the lobster or the trap running contest? They have a lobster trap where the kids run back and forth?
Yeah.
That doesn't interfere with that at all then?
No, I don't believe so. I mean, that's, you know, our concept A, I might have been just a little bit further out than what's shown here, but we said it before, how the floats are arranged, really, it's going to be up to Matt.
Right,
how it changes over time. Yeah. And we could draw a picture, and, you know, if there seems to be something more efficient, or certainly if there's dredging involved, you would want to be really sure about how your float layout works, because you want to minimize your dredging, but, you know, if you're using the lay of the land of the bottom now, then you just you can put the floats however you want. But more importantly is the access at the pier and the pier itself, I think.
I heard you mention dredging a few times, and this probably is not a question that could be answered here. But this dredging material, is that suitable to be used up the landfill? Cap the landfill with?
You have to take drawings, and you have this whole beneficial use permit you have to get. I mean, you're going through it, I guess. I didn't realize you're doing that at the fish pier, but fortunately, the testing came out, you know, that you didn't anything. But ideally, they want you to reuse that as close as possible on site, you know. But again, the dredging was just, you know, us being thorough planning, you know, on behalf of the city. I don't think it's going to be a major part of our recommendation, but just enough, you know, in case you were thinking about this, you know. So we haven't done any testing. We haven't done, it's just a conceptual idea at this point.
Yeah.
You know, the city owns a good amount of frontage, you know, and its riparian rights are all right here, you know, and there, if if Matt, you know, comes before this committee and says, man, we have people just lining up trying to get more dock space, and we really could use more docks, but we don't have any more room, and they're bottoming out, we have bigger boats, then that you the good news is you have more riparian rights to increase it if you do dredging, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the point, I guess.
Mm.
Yeah. Sorry to belabor that, I guess, but...
I'll just say how I love the pier design. I think that's very wise, and I think that's what you've been saying. I think that's where the investment needs to be. And and I can understand about moving the... have a massive building, how to open that up, what you're talking about. I can see how that would be beneficial for the whole area, too.
Matt, is a Howard Master Bill now handicapped accessible? Does it have a wheelchair ramp going up there?
It does.
It comes on the back side.
It does come in by the bathrooms, and there's a door. Actually, a door over there.
Yes.
As far as the requirements of, you know, ADA, I can't tell you. I haven't dug into that yet. I'll get into it, though.
No, I'm sure you will.
But there is a ramp on the back side.
Yeah.
Anything else? I think that concludes our presentation.
Thank you.
So when is the next meeting? So the next meeting, we will come back to you. We'd like to come back to you and report to you on June 7th. Mm-hmm. I think at the last meeting we were going to have a public meeting, and so we were proposing to come earlier. Mm-hmm. But we've put that off until the following week, so we'll be meeting presenting to council on the 13th and taking public comment at that time, and then we'll be finalizing everything through the end of June.
Did we change our meeting for June 7th in June? That's not
what's that?
September meeting June 7th.
Is it the wrong date?
I haven't even looked that far ahead, to be quite honest with you. I won't be here that week.
Yeah, I think it's
June 7th. Yeah, last time.
I think that's the wrong date.
Isn't that
a council meeting? That's the first Tuesday in...
Oh, that's a Tuesday.
We're the third, so the 21st.
Okay. In that case, it's going to go in front of council for public comment before you get to see it again. Mm-hmm. So it's not ideal that way. I don't know if you'd rather have a meeting another date. I mean, we were planning to come meet with you anyway, so I'll just leave it up to you guys if you want to do that.
So June 13th is city council.
Yeah.
And we're planning the 7th meeting. Matt's not going to be here. When are you going up?
I think it's that week. I'll be gone for that week. Yeah, close to it. Do I need to be here for that one? Because I've attended just about every meeting.
It's pretty in the know.
I'm not sure.
I'm not a voting member, so.
Right. Why don't we leave it for the 7th? But I think we're going to have some discussion.
Yeah, that's fine. If you just confirm with me, that would be great.
Have your card.
Okay, do that. Awesome.
Actually, if you have an extra one,
I do have it
somewhere in my craziness.
Have you looked at any card instruction?
Oh, ask her if I can get a card off her, would you?
What?
Ask her if I can get a business card off her.
From who?
The lady doing the presentation over here.
The way we're thinking now and the way we're efficient is to precast concrete slabs.
So they have a few more things on the agenda there.
Yeah. You want to say
Friendships, roots, internet cat video.
What might throw that up?
Farmers Market, Whisker Walk. And let me go.
Which one is? Maybe some covered things on this. It's the furniture.
Those are applications.
Yeah. Well,
we need to be like that.
What's that?
I said, if you want to go, we can do that.
Just whatever you want to do. I don't.
See what they say about the friendship soups. That's their meeting. I'm curious about the cat video, actually.
Did they used to put these old floating dogs up here? Did they ever stow them there?
For the winter, oh, they did.
Why?
Oh, yeah. Throw them up.
In the back of
all. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I guess I wondered why we put them all the way down to the south end.
All right. That's the snow removal. That's all I can think of.
Snow removal.
Yeah, we used to stack them up like the cone.
Right here?
Yeah.
Oh, right there. Yeah. Also, the crane can just stack right there. Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
I'd love to be able to do that again.
Well, if you got a crane, can you put them here?
Well, it's easier with the crane that they have just to just sit right there, and then, because otherwise you'd get a tractor trailer truck.
That's pretty easy. I don't know why you can put them all in the middle.
There's no way we can.
I don't think so.
No way. I mean, even stacking them.
I think it's just the snow removal down there that mother ones and people packing there and stuff.
I know we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 applications that you have, but we cannot vote on them because we do not have voting members. But I'd like to have everyone look at them, and I will call a meeting next week, an emergency meeting. And
so we just give it to you? And
we can. Everyone, I'd like you to all look at them tonight so that we
know
what we're looking at and what we're prepared to vote for next week.
And I think they're pretty much all ones that have happened in the past.
What about Rocco's Tacos there?
He's already
approved.
Yeah, we've him
yeah.
Time.
I have him on there originally.
What is the Internet Cat Video Festival and Fair?
Remember that?
Yeah.
No, it's a big blob screen.
Yeah, it's like an hour and a half video, yeah. I guess. Mm-hmm. I've never seen it, so I don't know, but I mean, it's an hour and a half video.
We discussed that last year a few times.
Okay.
It got postponed last year, but it ended up being so cold.
Did you attend it?
Oh, sure.
Was it nice? Yeah.
It was cold.
Oh, was it?
For the sold hot chocolate, you made a fortune.
It's well within the
What is it? Cats prancing about here and
no,
there?
It's videos video? Of cats. Yeah. On a big inflatable screen. It goes all over the United States.
Oh,
it's
I see. Really?
They had that. Didn't they have a cat show down the
it was for
Memorial Pier down there?
I was about to ask, is that related to
that's
it? But no.
Different.
We're definitely a cat town, a cat
like
city.
That is.
What is this one? This witch, please.
It's a vendor down there in Bowie.
Food truck.
Oh, okay. Oh, like sandwich, please. Oh, God. Slow, sorry.
Yeah. And there's a whisper spot. Same thing as the cat? Is that
more cats?
No, this one.
Okay.
That whisper walk's a little more entailed. They actually have a drawing of how they, you know, set up it. Didn't they have it last year?
I think so.
Yeah. Hey, I don't think any of these are new.
No.
Where's the Coast Guard?
You guys, we already talked about that last one. I have it here. I'm going to talk about it again.
Let's go. Is the cat's on leash?
Well, we have. But oh, I thought they were going to come and talk.
A nightmare.
Were they not going to go out on the car?
They're not going to.
And we had a meeting that I was sick and did not attend.
Right.
And we didn't have a better place.
Let's go.